welcome to the polls. So I'll just say hello to you first, and then we'll get into the interview.
Great.
Thank you very much for giving us the time today. You've been a very busy schedule, I understand, while you're in Australia.
Well, you want to have a busy schedule, and it's a long way to come, you know. So you want to have the good be gotten out of you.
Indeed. You may as well make the most of it, you think.
You bet.
Now, you're here really mostly to talk about your latest novel, Canada.
Yes.
And Canada's a coming-of-age story, perhaps, of a boy, Dell, and his twin sister, abandoned when his parents are arrested for a bank robbery.
Right.
Perhaps a story of a loss of innocence. And what interests me is it's a story set in a semi-rural area, in a small town, something we here in Geelong, outside Melbourne, in a semi-rural area, perhaps can identify with a little bit.
I'm sure.
I wondered if this was a story that would have worked as well in an urban area. Was there something specific about rural America and America of that particular period that's absolutely necessary to this story?
Well, that makes writing novels seem a lot more calculated than it is, John.
You wish.
I had the notion it has to be a novel that's set pretty close to Canada.
Yes.
And so since the Canadian border runs mostly through the outback in America, you know, the 49th parallel runs through, you know, northern New York State and runs through Minnesota, above Minnesota and the Dakotas. It was almost inevitable, if I'm going to write a novel in which the principal action is crossing the border from America into Canada, it be set in a rural setting.
Yes, yes. Now, it is set in Montana and Saskatchewan and
yes.
that area. Now, you say something in your acknowledgements about how that area did affect you, and I'm always fascinated by how long novels, and Canada is quite a long novel, how they begin, and perhaps what was the original spark or initiating idea that led you to write this? Which I think you say something about that.
The initial goal for the novel was back in 1989. I was sitting around in a little wheat prairie town of Dutton, Montana, with about, 300 people in it. And I was waiting for some edited manuscript to be sent back to me, and it was slow coming back. And I rented a little room above a car garage, an auto repair, and just thought, well, I'm a writer. I should write something. And so I looked in my notebook, and what I found was a line about someone crossing the American-Canadian border into Canada. Mm. And that really was the spark of the book. For me, the idea that someone would cross that border, because I'd crossed that border by then many times, ignited in me a kind of a commotion. It seemed to me to be something important about doing that, and conventional wisdom didn't tell me what it was, and so that's usually the incitement to the novel. Mm.
So was it that idea of crossing borders? Because there's quite a bit of crossing borders going on in this novel.
It was that. I knew it implied change, and I knew it implied some kind of fearfulness. I mean, I knew it implied all of the emotions that I have felt each time I've crossed the border into Canada, which is something affirming, something that was, I thought, quite positive, leaving America and going to Canada.
Yes.
I wanted to try to bring all of that together into one place.
I see. Now, in some ways, this is a story about quite small lives.
Small lives.
Yes.
I'm sure if you wrote a novel about Mrs. Gillard, you would have some sense that she was living a rather small life in her intimate.
Of course. Now, if it was written up in a newspaper article, it would probably just get one column.
Well, in the course of the book, there are two or three newspaper articles about these people who have committed this robbery, who are the parents of the boy who tells the story. And their lives, indeed, when he reads about them, seem to be insignificant lives.
Yes, yes. And yet, I see it as an epic story. Is this something that you set out to do, or do you think that the novel still makes that sort of contribution, able to make small lives into something epic and very important?
Well, I think that novels of the kind that I write, and plenty of other people write the same sort of books, realistic books, have as their moral torque that if you look at something very closely, it necessarily grows large, and that you can find reasons for looking at it that you wouldn't have seen seeing the these people, these lives from a distance.
Yes.
In other words, there's something about looking at people closely and intimately that makes their lives seem to be worth your notice.
Yes, yes. Now, the other thing I noticed about the story, it seems lately I've been reading a lot of novels about abandoned or neglected children.
Oh, no kidding.
Maybe I'm reading the wrong novels. There was American writer Russell Banks' Lost Memory of Skin and the debut novel of Wiley Cash that I've recently read. And also there's about three Australian novels recently, Blood, Floundering and Beyond the Shallows. They're all about children who are neglected or abandoned in some way or another. Now, I know you can't speak for other writers, but have you got any thoughts why there's this preoccupation or this theme being explored so currently by writers?
Well, I can't say why it would be coming along at this particular time. I think it may just be in some way self-selecting for you. Mm. I mean, not that you're looking for them, but that in an odd way you've just, you know, it's like having 4 days of rain on your vacation, right? But I think the whole notion of children being helpless and trying to find ways to help themselves and being without the normal substantiating presence of their parents is an innately human story.
Yes.
It's an innately dramatic story.
Yes.
It's someplace that we are drawn to because if it didn't happen to us, we are fearful of it, and we are often drawn to things that make us afraid.
Yes, yes. Now, Del, as the character, he's got a very distinctive narrative voice. That's his equanimity, his calmness. He's very non-judgmental. He really just goes with the flow. I was wondering whether, did you intend to portray him as sort of a passive character, or is he more someone who survives by dealing with events as they happen to him?
Well, I don't think he's a passive character because a lot of things happen to him. There's no doubt about that. But he is 15 years old, and so he is acted upon more than he acts upon others. But I think that, for me, there's a line of Dennis Donahue's that I like in which he says, language is where we find values, social values, political values, moral values, most effectively found in action.
Yes.
And Del actually spends a lot of words talking about what he feels and what he sees and what he fears. And in a way, for me, those words are action. Those words are active. And so his way of negotiating and transacting life is, for me, quite active.
So you're saying he talks meaning into his life, or?
Well, isn't that what we do?
I suppose. We try, don't we?
Well, in that way, we are sort of people who are acted upon a lot ourselves.
Yes.
And we transact all of those actions upon ourselves the best way we can. And I don't think any of us who manage, as you say, to survive or who manage to make a cogent narrative out of our lives could be said to be passive.
No, indeed. Now, his voice, he has such a distinctive voice, and I wonder how an older male writer can speak that voice of a 15-year-old boy without just being an older male trying to imitate the voice of a 15-year-old boy. How do you get rid of that?
I think I am.
Sorry?
I think that's what I think I am. I think I'm an older man trying to imitate the voice of a 15-year-old.
It doesn't sound like that.
That just seems like not a very hard trick to do. I mean, I was once a 15-year-old. I guess maybe I never grew sufficiently beyond that it isn't well within my grasp.
It doesn't sound like an older male writer. It sounds like a 15-year-old boy, but...
Well, that was what it was trying to do.
Yes.
But I, you know, truthfully, I think that most of the things that I do as a writer, most other people could do too if they weren't doing something else.
Look, I might leave it there then. Richard, I know you've got a very busy schedule, and
well,
I think you're appearing tonight on Q&A too on the ABC, which I'm looking forward to very much.
For my sins.
Well, I look forward to seeing you there, and thanks again for spending this bit of time with us down here
sure.
in country Geelong.
I'm coming down to Melbourne again in the
great
days. I hope someday I can get out of Melbourne and into the country.
You should come to Geelong.
I'd love to, and thank you.
Excellent. Thank you very much for your time.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Richard.